All right. Would you take your Bibles? Oh, wait a minute. Almost forgot. The United Methodist Women are having their cookie walk next Sunday between services. You don't want to miss that. I'm serious. That is a... I'll tell you, that is just going to be such a sweet service. And you, no. Why? Why? I live by the word. Come on. I mean, why? But really, you want to come out. I mean, one thing Methodists know how to do, and especially Methodists from Pittman, they know how to bake. Let me tell you for sure. And so, just come on out. It's going to be a great time. And it's just one of the things we'll be doing during Advent. It's going to be great. Okay, your Bible to the Gospel of John, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm not going to do a lot of exegesis on this in the sermon itself, because we really took a lot of time to exegete it during the Colossians series, which if you didn't get to hear them all, I invite you to either see Rob for a CD or go to the website and you'll be able to access them, where we really took and exegeted the passage of what it means that Jesus is God. But nevertheless, this is John's prologue to and his response to the idea of Christmas, what we call Christmas. And John really gives us one of the most wonderful statements in all of Scripture, as we'll read in just a moment. Before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He's always been alive and is Himself God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that He didn't make. Eternal life is in Him, and this life gives light to all mankind. His life is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent John the Baptist as a witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the true light. John himself was not the light. He was only a witness to identify it. Later on, the one who is the true light arrived to shine on everyone coming into the world. But although he made the world didn't recognize him when he came. Even in his own land and among his own people, the Jews, he was not accepted. Only a few would welcome and receive him. But to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. And all they needed to do was to trust Him to save them. All those who believe this are reborn, not a physical rebirth resulting from human passion or plan, but from the will of God. And Christ became a human being and lived here on earth among us and was full of loving forgiveness and truth. And some of us have seen His glory, the glory of the only Son of the Heavenly Father. Pray. Father God, thank you so much for your holy word, and thank you for preserving it in the canon of Scripture for us. Father, while for many of us these words may seem familiar, I just pray in Jesus' name that you'll hide me behind the cross, and you'll take these words and the words that are to be said, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit will impress upon our hearts and minds a new truth, a new reality, a new gift that we may embrace. So be with us in these few moments. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Is a wonderful time of year, isn't it?
No
ifs, ands, or buts about it.
It
makes you feel good. something joyous about this time of year. Today we begin the season of Advent, and like Lent, we're beginning an exciting journey of preparation. Now, as we're out preparing for our own celebration of December 25th, I suspect many of us are looking toward that time, especially when the relatives are coming, for others, when the relatives are leaving. But for most of us, we look toward that day, but the season of Advent is different. The spiritual season of Advent is different because the joy, the hope, the peace, and the love is not to be found on December 25th, although it is, but it's to be found as you journey through Advent, and then it becomes perfected on December 25th. It's all that preparation of joy, all that preparation of love that has its fulfillment in December 25th. See, we have it backwards. We live by the way the culture tells us. We've got to hurry up and be done by the 25th. No. The journey starts today with the first day of Advent where the joy can be experienced. This is a wonderful time of the year, even as Amy Grant just sang for us. But yet, when I think of this time of year, and I think of how wonderful it is, you know who comes to mind for me? Lawrence Welk. Oh, come on now. Even the balcony gets it. Come on. What's Lawrence's big line? Wonderful, wonderful. You could have a dog on stage bark and go, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It doesn't matter. But you know, this is a wonderful, wonderful time of year. Yeah, I know the malls are crowded. Yes, and I'll be telling you stories how I'm telling you I wear a bullseye when I go into these places. Honest to goodness, I wear a bullseye. When I go to ShopRite, and I will have to during this season, there are people who will stand behind me and just literally ram me with the cart. I'm not kidding. One time, it was a couple of days before Christmas, and I was just picking up a few last-minute things, you know, trying to be a good guy. I couldn't go anywhere. And if you ever see me in a checkout line, do not, under any circumstances, get in that line. Here's why. Because everybody who has a problem with remembering their PIN number, they've dropped their card, the card is expired, they don't have cash, there's nothing to scan on the item itself, it's going to be in my aisle. And so this one time I'm standing there, and there was all this commotion going on. All of a sudden I feel, boom. I turn around and smile, you know. Okay, to those of you up top there, yes, half-hearted smiles, okay. A couple minutes later, boom, it's harder. I turned around and I said, excuse me, is everything okay? Move up. Now, when you get a shopper, I'm not going to tell you whether it was a man or woman, okay? I'm not going to, but when you get a shopper that has both hands on the cart, and they say, move up, so I slide up a little bit. I figure, okay, I'm good. I don't have my 18 inches of space, but I have a little bit of space around me. Boom! Turn around. Is everything okay? I said move up. I said, ma'am, I can't move up. But even at that, Andy Williams' song, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, was playing over the loudspeaker. So I did what any good preacher would say, if you could read the bubbles. Bah humbug, yeah. Wonderful for you. You're stuck in a speaker somewhere, and I'm here with this lady behind, this person behind me. Boom. Boom. But you know, it really is. The music sounds cool when we're going through the mall. The lights are cool. Been out walking the dog last night. And I don't think he's ever seen a Christmas light. Every house, every little blow-up thing. Boy, oh, to have a pea shooter. But every blow-up toy. And here's Ripley. I'm like, come on, I got to go to church tomorrow. Come on. But then we got to one house on Holly Street, and it's a beautiful house. And it got it decorated nice. And they've got these, like, Christmas trees that look like balls, but they've got music playing with them. And the lights are dancing. So Ripley's looking at the lights this way, and I'm looking at the music. And so it was just a wonderful walk last night that we had. It was really kind of cool. But this kind of year does it. And you know, even the culture does get it, because all of the lights, all the festivities, all of the parties, all of the celebrations are meant to help us be prepared for when the journey comes to a close. You know, George Beverly Shea was a man who used to sing with Billy Graham during his revival services, and he wrote a beautiful hymn. It says, "There's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. There's the wonder of springtime and harvest, the sky, the stars, the sun, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is a wonder that's only begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me." Think about that. You ever dwell on that fact? The fact that God loves you. God loves you. And we have Christmas because it's born out of God's love for us. And the fact that God has gifted us with His Son. Think about it. God left the splendor of heaven, knowing His destiny, as Dottie Rambo writes. Came into the world, born of a young virgin. Became fully human. And yet was able to remain God while being fully human. And then lived a perfect, sinless life. Becoming the atonement for our sins, but opening up the door of heaven. Rendering death ineffective in the eternal scheme of things. When we dwell on that, it really leaves you with a lot of wonder. We become wonder-filled people. A Lutheran pastor has correctly said, the person who doesn't have Christmas in their heart will never find it under a tree. Is there anything more frustrating than on December 26th to hear people say, okay, get the tree down, time to put everything away? And that's not what God's about, because if we know that those lights point us to the light, that everything involved with the holiday is to point us to Christ. Why do you want it to end? Don't you want to keep it going? As one of my favorite theologians, Elmo, used to sing, "Keep Christmas with you all through the year." You don't know how hard that was for me to do. Christmas is about gifts. And listen, we give gifts not because we're good people. We give gifts because God first gave. We're borrowing from 1 John 4:9, where it says, we love because He first loved us. Well, friends, we give because He first gave to us. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world, He gave. He gave. And you know what? That gift keeps on giving and giving and giving. I recently read around about an older woman who, this one Christmas, she just found herself getting out to the mall and driving and the hustle, but it was just beginning to become too much for her. So she decided she would write a check and put it in a card and send it to her family. As an expression of love and gifting them. And so she wrote out her Christmas cards, and underneath her name, she wrote, "Buy your own present." And that's fine. She signed all the checks, she sealed all the cards, and mailed all the cards. Except she forgot to put the check inside the card. So as people got the cards, they read, "Love, Grandma, go buy your own present." Now, we all like to receive gifts. And God has given us a marvelous gift in Jesus Christ. But I keep referring to Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." That's why that star tree out there invites you to take a name. I was so surprised when Helen told me that there was, nearly 100 kids, something like that, just right here in this town, that are in need. That's just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. And I know, as you did last year, and I know you've done for years, we'll all step up and that tree will be bare of stars, and that's good. But the blessing comes in knowing that we've made some kid smile. We've made some kid realize somebody loves me. And maybe more importantly, God loves me. All by taking a star off a tree. All by sacrificing just a little bit. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. We enjoy giving. We enjoy receiving. Doesn't a real blessing come to all of us when we give somebody a gift and they're just so excited and thrilled and we know it's something they really want or something they really need? Can you put a price tag on any of that? No, not at all. I like what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 1. "In these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son. It was by His Son that God made the world." You enjoying the fall so far? I know I am. It's beautiful, hasn't it? Do we stop and realize that that's just a gift from God? It's a gift from God to be enjoyed, as Ecclesiastes tells us. Do we enjoy these gifts that He's given us in Himself? As Mac Davis used to write back in the 70s, do we stop and smell the roses along the way? And yes, if you come by 18 North Oak, there's roses on the rose bush out front still. Do we really? Jesus shines with the shining greatness of the Father. The Son is God in every way. It is the Son who holds the whole world together with power. The Son gave His life, another gift, so we could be clean from all sin. After He did that, the Son sat down, another gift, at the right hand of God. That's why John writes here, "And the Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, Jesus is the ultimate gift. And not to be cliche, but Jesus is a gift that keeps on giving. It's God's nature to give. Jesus has, first off, a wonder-filled heart. Have you ever really unpacked John 15:13, where Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their life for their friends"? He isn't talking about all of us having to go to a cross for somebody. He's not talking necessarily about us dying physically for somebody else. But He's talking about us sacrificing, expressing our love to others in so many tangible ways. And doesn't this wonderful time of the year offer us opportunities to do that? Whether it's through the church, whether it's through phone calls, whether it's through a little guy with a little bowl and a bell in his hand. There's many opportunities for us to be able to have that wonder-filled heart that Jesus had. God's love through the gift of Jesus is unmerited. In other words, we don't deserve it. Let's face it, when we give gifts to our families, when we give gifts to kids growing up, do they always deserve it? But we still give it. Why? Because we love them and we want to express our love, just like God has done for us. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve any good gift from God the Father because of our sin. But because of His love, He says, I'm going to give it to you. It's unmerited. It's unselfish. In other words, this heart, this wonder-filled heart of Jesus thinks of others first. I refer back to when Jesus fed the multitude, the disciples said, Master, send them away. We don't have anything to give them. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Remember when He had nails driven through His hands on the cross? He wasn't thinking of Himself. Yeah, He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. In essence, He's saying, Father, don't worry about me. Worry about them. Father, don't worry about me here going through all this pain and suffering. Focus on them, Father. Wow. That's an amazing gift. It's an amazing gift. But the beautiful thing is, and the biblical truth is this, it's an unending gift. An unending gift. In elementary class, I had a holiday program, and they all rose to sing a song called Christmas Love. Kids were all aglow. They had fuzzy mittens on. They had little snow caps. Some had boots on. It was just an amazing sight as only little kids could show. Those in the front row, center, were to hold up letters, which would spell Christmas love. One child held up the C. C is for Christmas. And then the H. H is for happy. And on and on and on it would go. Cute. Really warm your heart. That kind of thing. The performance is going along smoothly until the little lad in the front row who was supposed to hold up the M held it upside down. Totally unaware of what was happening. So as she stood there, proudly holding her M, which had now become a W, the kids started snickering. They started making fun of her. Big hush and eyes began to widen. Change it. Change it. No, you got it wrong. Change it. Change it. When it was all over, she stood up with the rest of the kids, and it didn't say Christmas love. If you can see it over my shoulder, what did it say? Christ was love. And isn't that little error by that little kid, isn't that the true essence of the gift of Jesus' heart? He's love. He was love. He is love. He always will be love. And that even as we journey through this season, and even though our best intentions will be misunderstood and misinterpreted, and maybe we'll feel like we haven't done enough, but yet God is still going to take our M's, turn them into W's, and turn them into a blessing for others. Oh, Jesus has a wonderful heart. But secondly, Jesus has a wonderful, wonder-filled hands. You ever think about Jesus' hands? You ever think about His hands? Recall with me Matthew 14. Jesus is often praying. The disciples are out in the boat. A great storm comes up. And Jesus comes out walking to the disciples. The Bible picks up the rest of the story. And it says, Peter says, Lord, if it's you, let me come out. Jesus says, come on out. But then the Bible says, when Peter saw the winds were boisterous, he became afraid. He began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And listen to what the Bible says. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him. He caught Simon Peter before he went down. And the translation I was using there says, his hands are soft, strong, and secure. Is that why Jesus says in John 10, no one can ever take you out of my Father's hand? No one can take you out of my Father's hand. Oh, those beautiful hands of Jesus. Someone has written, Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good to all, healing pain and sickness, blessing children small, washing tired feet and saving those who fall. Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good to all. Take my hands, Lord Jesus. Let them work for you. Make them strong and gentle, kind in all I do. Let me watch you, Jesus, till I'm gentle too, till my hands are kind hands, quick to work for you. Think about those wonderful, wonder-filled hands of Jesus. Those ones that used to fashion wood when he was a child in Joseph's woodshop. Those wonderful hands that drew in the sand rather than pointing a finger of condemnation to a woman in John chapter 8. Those wonderful, wonder-filled hands that broke bread to feed that multitude of over 25,000 people according to Matthew 14. Those wonderful, wonder-filled hands that in humility clasped together in prayer as he went to the Jordan River to allow John to baptize him in Matthew 3. Those wonderful, wonder-filled hands that would wipe tears from the eyes of others and even in John 11 wiped tears from his own eyes. Those wonderful, wonderful filled hands of Jesus that one day, according to Revelation, is going to wipe away the tears from all of our eyes. Those wonderful, wonderful filled hands of Jesus that one day for all of us is going to reach out and say, put your hand in mine. Well done, good and faithful servant. Those wonderful, wonder-filled hands that formed the heavens and the earth and yet reached up from a manger and grasped hold of his mama's finger out of love and need. Those wonderful, wonder-filled hands that on resurrection night, after taking and rolling away the stone, appeared before the disciples and said to a non-believing Thomas, here, go ahead, put your hand in my hand and believe. And Thomas found salvation that night. Those wonderful, wonder-filled hands that waved, not goodbye, but I'll see you again soon at the ascension, while with the other wonderful hand was pointing to all the world so that you and I would take our wonderful, wonder-filled hands and go out into the world and not just give the gift of love, but be the gift of Christ to the world. You see, you can't find that under a tree. You can only find it here. You can only find it right here. Oh, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And what's more, in those wonderful, wonder-filled hands, as Isaiah 49 tells us, not only are the scars there, not only is the love, the joy, the peace, and the hope of Advent there, but you know what else is there according to Isaiah? Your name is written right there in that wonderful, wonder-filled hand of Jesus Christ. Your name is written right there. God can never, ever forgive us. Oh, mercy. Advent is a reminder that when we arrive at the manger, when we look into the face of God wrapped in swaddling clothes lying there in the manger, we are invited, as the pop song said back in 1971, to put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. An eighth grader from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, wanted to do her part for Jesus at Christmas. Without informing her parents, she addressed a letter to Jesus in care of the local post office. The letter landed on the desk of a Presbyterian pastor, and it read as follows, "Dear friend, I'm 13 years old. And you must think I'm weird for writing a letter to Jesus when everyone knows it wouldn't get anywhere. I wanted to give you a message. Every Christmas, all people think about is getting gifts. But that's not the reason at all. I think Christmas means getting all your friends together and having a good time because Jesus is born. And that's just the beginning of all the beautiful gifts He's given to us. By being born, Jesus became the gift to the world. Do you get it? Why get it? The real gift is found in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful gift. It's a wonder-filled gift. And it's a gift that even after the tree is gone and the lights are down, and we're thinking of vacations and summertime, it's a gift that's still with us. And it's a gift that keeps moving us and motivating us. It's a wonderful time of the year. Because we're reminded that we have a God who loves us, who cares for us, who forgives us, and is in the habit of transforming His people into perfect expressions of Himself. The greatest wonder of it all, summed up by John, the gift of God became a human being and lived here with us. And from Him, all the kindness and all the truth of God comes down to us. And Father God, we just want to thank You and praise You for the awesome gift of God. Thank You, Lord, that You entrusted the gift of Your love and Your grace into our hands. May we, Lord, take that gift and go out into this wonderful time of the year. And just to be able to share the gift. May we see Jesus, Lord, with happy shoppers. May we see Jesus, Lord, with people rushing around with their gifts. May we see Him in the lights. May we see Him. But more importantly, God, may we receive Him. Father, help us not to be so busy doing in this wonderful time of year that we miss out on receiving the wonderful gift of Jesus. So go with us and be with us, Lord, as we travel now through this wonderful season. In the awesome name of Jesus we pray. Amen.